Chapter 40. I came out of the front of the hotel and looped back through the dogleg alley between the pharmacy and the hardware store, and came out the other end between the loan office and Brannan's bar, where Janice Mae Chapman's body had been found. The sand pile was still there, dry and crusted and powdery, and a little redistributed by the breeze. I stepped around it and checked activity on the one-sided street. Not much was going on. Some of the bars were closed because the base was closed. No point in opening without customers. A simple economic calculation. But Brannan's bar was open, defiantly optimistic, or maybe just maintaining some long-standing tradition. I went in and found nobody there except two similar guys fussing with stuff in the drinks well. They looked like brothers, middle 30s, maybe 2 years apart, like Joe and me. Wise to the ways of the world, which was going to give me the advantage. Their place was like 1,000 base town bars I had seen before, a complex, boxed-in machine designed to turn boredom into cash. It was a decent size. I guessed it had been a small restaurant in the past, but small restaurants make big bars. The decor was maybe a little better than most. There were travel posters on the walls of the world's great cities photographed at night. No local stuff, which was smart. If you're stuck for 6 months in the back of beyond, you don't want to be reminded of it at every turn. "Got coffee?" I asked. They said no, which didn't surprise me very much. I said, "My name is Jack Reacher, and I'm an MP with a dinner date coming up." They didn't follow. I said, "Which means that usually I'd have time to hang around all night and weasel stuff out of you in the normal course of conversation. But I don't have time for that on this occasion, so we'll have to rely on a straightforward question-and-answer session. Okay?" They got the message. Base town bar owners worry about MPs. Easiest thing in the world to put a particular establishment on a local no-go list for a week, or a month, or forever. They introduced themselves as Jonathan and Hunter Brannan, brothers, inheritors of a business started by their grandmother back in the railroad days. She had sold tea and fancy cakes, and she had made a nice living. Their father had switched to alcohol when the trains stopped and the army arrived. They were a nice enough pair of guys, and realistic. They ran the best bar in town, so they couldn't deny they saw everybody from time to time. "Janice Chapman came here," I said, "the woman who got killed." They agreed that, yes, she did. No evasion. Everyone comes to Brannan's. I asked, "With the same guy every recent time?" They agreed that, yes, that was the case. I asked, "Who was he?" Hunter Brannan said, "His name was Reed. Don't know much about him apart from that. But he was a big dog. You can always tell by the way the others react." "Was he a regular customer?" "They all are." "Was he in here that night?" "That's a tough question. This place is usually packed. Try to remember." "I would say he was. For the early part of the evening, at least. I don't recall seeing him later." "What car does he drive?"
"Oh, some old thing. Blue, I think."
I asked, "How long has he been coming here?"
"A year or so, I guess. But he's one of the in-and-out guys."
"What does that mean?"
"They got a couple of squads over there. They go somewhere, and then they come back. A month on, a month off."
"Did you see him with previous girlfriends?" Jonathan Brannan said,
"A guy like that, he always has arm candy."
"Who? In particular?"
"Whoever was the prettiest. Whoever was willing to put out
I guess.
Black or white?
Both. He's pretty much an equal opportunities type of guy.
Remember any names?
No, Hunter Brannon said. But I remember feeling pretty jealous a couple of times.
I went back to the hotel, 2 hours until dinner. I spent the first hour taking a nap because I was tired and because I was figuring I wouldn't be sleeping again too soon. Hoping I wouldn't be, anyway. Hope springs eternal. I woke myself up at 8 o'clock and unpacked my new shirt. I brushed my teeth with water and chewed some gum. Then I took a long, hot shower. Plenty of soap, plenty of shampoo. I put on my new shirt and rolled the sleeves level with my elbows. The shirt was tight across the shoulders, so I left the top 2 buttons undone. I tucked the tails into my pants and put my shoes on and shined them 1 at a time against the backs of my calves. I checked the mirror. I looked exactly like a guy who wants to get laid. Which I was. There was nothing to be done about it. I dumped my old shirts in the trash can and left my room and went down the stairs and stepped out to the darkness of the street. A voice from the shadows behind me said,
"Hello again, soldier boy."